Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
None of you lot wanted to watch the football then. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the 11th Sunday after Trinity. Take a moment of quiet to ready ourselves for worship. Week by week, we come to this, our temple, to be cleansed from our sins, to remember a particular sacrifice, one on a cross, and in that act of remembering to worship our God, to offer our own sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and then to offer our lives again in his service. So with those thoughts in mind, we'll stand and sing our first hymn, which is 457, O Worship the Lord. Come this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We sit on you for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. We say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect Prayer for today, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Sit for our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis chapter 45, beginning to read at verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Of everyone, leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Church of Rome, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 to 2a. Did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. And now from 29 to 32. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We'll sing our second hymn. I've promised Robert that we know this one. So don't let me down. It is a long time since we've sung it. So
just to double check, there are two verses in this one.
There are two verses, and we'll sing the chorus twice. We'll sing it at the end as well.
Okay, so two verses with the chorus sung twice, but only in the end.
No, we'll sing the first verse, then the chorus, then the last verse, and then the chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, don't clap yet.
So what Robert and I are basically saying is it's down to you, okay? So we stand to sing hymn number 1047, These Are the Days of Elijah.
These are the days of your servant Moses, right?
Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew. This is the 15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We start at verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth is that which makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. As we learn more about God, we can often find that the answers to our questions don't necessarily get clearer, but instead we may discover some new depths, nuance, contradictions, contrast. We may find some parts of the Bible comfort us, while other passages make us feel deeply uncomfortable. And I think all three of our readings today could well fall into just such a category. As I read today's Gospel passage, I was very struck by the theme of what you might call radical inclusion. It runs through the whole passage. It's interesting, isn't it, just how topical Scripture can be. This last couple of weekends, we've seen the start of another football season, and we see the spectacle of players taking the knee at the start of each game, reminding us that the issues that spawned the Black Lives Matter movement are still very much around. Then we have gender boundaries, sexual identity, racial stereotyping, security walls, border checkpoints at the English Channel, all very current topics in our daily news bulletins. We have lots of ways by which we like to differentiate between what we might call us and them. Just think about our reading from Genesis, for example, Joseph's brothers made the move to Egypt because they were hungry. They were climate refugees. In today's world, we'd probably somewhat disparagingly call them economic migrants. And in last week's gospel story, we heard Matthew's account of Jesus walking on the water, showing the lengths that Jesus was willing to go to in order to comfort and console his scared disciples in the boat. And that was a wonderful thing. But in doing this, Jesus was shepherding us, his own. He was shepherding his Jewish disciples. And in this week's story, we see that even in Jesus' own time, the us and them issue was clearly very evident. And the two stories, I think, contrast each other beautifully. In one, there is Peter, the disciple closest to Jesus, known as the Rock, and he steps out of the boat and then sinks like a stone. And Jesus says to him, "Oh, ye of little faith." Then there's the Canaanite woman we heard about today. And in the Bible, the word Canaanite was often simply used as a euphemism for Gentile or foreigner. Everything about this woman's life and genealogy and gender and status placed her as far from Jesus as it was possible to get. And yet Jesus says to her, excuse me, "Woman, great is your faith." The contrast couldn't be more significant. Now, I must admit that there was a time when I found this passage troubling, to say the very least. We're so used to portraying Jesus as the one whose ministry is for all, whose gospel good news is for everyone who hears it, that the thought of Jesus turning someone away might strike us as completely out of character. And it's not just the fact that Jesus turned the Canaanite woman away. It's the harsh language that he used that can be so shocking. "It's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs," he said. Does the use of the word dogs here send a shudder down your spine? There are many Bible commentators who try to explain this away by defining dog positively, by substituting the word puppy or family pet. But I think that in all the known circumstances, we just need to accept that this is an insulting remark. This feels like a real conundrum, and I think we're going to need some context here if we're to resolve this apparent conflict. Our passage today picks up right in the middle of an encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees. They are debating what it is that makes a person righteous in the eyes of God. Is it following all the rules and traditions of the faith, or is it something less easy to pinpoint? And there's no way this is a friendly encounter. The Pharisees, we are told, are offended by the words and actions of Jesus and his disciples. But Jesus is adamant that it's only things which have their roots in God that will ultimately survive and flourish. The Pharisees, with their focus on rule following, are described as blind guides leading others astray. They give the illusion of being able to clearly see what God requires of them and others, but in reality, they're totally unaware that they are leading themselves and others into dangerous territory. Then we get to the difficult part of the passage. On the surface, Jesus seems to be acting very out of character, trying to dismiss a woman coming to him seeking help for her daughter. Whereas other people coming to Jesus in similar circumstances have been met with nothing but compassion. And the tone, I think, in which this passage is read greatly affects the meaning that you take from it. So how do you interpret the language used here? Do you read this as being very confrontational, with Jesus trying to deny this woman access to healing because of her background? Or is there perhaps a playfulness in the meeting, with Jesus drawing out a profound theological insight from her? Is this woman humiliated by the words of the man she is talking to? Or is she humble, recognizing her own spiritual poverty? Now, the passage is sandwiched between the stories of the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, both of which, interestingly, I think, also deal with the question of crumbs and leftovers. In both stories, a very small amount of food is more than sufficient for a large crowd of people, and the crumbs left under our Canaanite woman's table would indeed be substantial. Because the economics of the kingdom of heaven are not those of scarcity, but of generous abundance. The contrast between the Canaanite woman and the Pharisees goes uncommented on, but nonetheless, it feels stark to me. For all their focus on purity, the Pharisees are defiled on the inside, while the Canaanite woman, who was seen as impure, shows herself to be spiritually alive and is commended for her faith. And I think it's interesting also that Jesus chose to make this one of his very few visits outside of Jewish territory. The cities of Tyre and Sidon are on the Mediterranean coast in what we know today as Lebanon. And I'm comforted by the fact that Jesus wouldn't have made such a journey if he wanted to exclude all Gentiles. So the Canaanite woman recognizes that as a Gentile, she is designated one of the dogs. But that didn't matter for her, as she became part of the new chapter of that larger story, which is Jesus. And we must always remember that we are also all part of that larger story. And as well, I see this story as a sharp reminder to us all that Jesus wasn't simply called to go around being nice and helpful to everyone he met. Crucially, he had a specific and dangerous thing to do and little time in which to accomplish it. The danger for us is that if we try to remake Jesus into the cozy image of some kind of universal problem solver, then we may very well miss the enormous importance of that unique assignment. So perhaps this is an occasion for us to look at our own attitudes to people of other races, ethnic groups, and nationalities, not to mention the socially disadvantaged or physically or mentally disabled. In other words, any people who we might possibly perceive to be different. How inclusive are we when it comes to word and action? Just so long as we haven't forgotten that even God's crumbs can satisfy completely. Or do we perhaps need a Canaanite woman to come and ask us some impertinent questions? Amen. We sit or kneel for our prayers of intercession.
Lord, open our eyes to your presence, open our ears to your message, and open our hearts to your love. Open our minds to your wisdom that we may hear and receive your word. Lord, you created us in love, and you gave your Son that we should have everlasting life. And as you give us life and love, and as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, at this time of year, when our young people are receiving their exam results, be it GCSEs, A-levels or degrees, some at home and some far away from home, look after them as they navigate their way forward. Comfort them if they've not done as well as they had hoped, and help them find their way and give them renewed confidence in their own abilities. Be with them, Lord, and surround them with your love and compassion as they take the next steps in their education or careers. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the summertime that we have enjoyed, spending time with our families, friends and loved ones, and making special holiday memories. We give thanks for all those who worked so hard at Lighthouse, and we pray that the children who attended have learned something more of your love, Lord, and have taken it back to their own homes and families. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. We continue to pray for the people of Ukraine, and as we look at the political situation in Russia and around the world, help quell our fears for the uncertainty of the future and give us courage to have confidence in a sensible outcome. We pray that your teaching about loving our enemies will help divided communities find common ground and heal divisions. We are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for our community, and we pray that in our community we may continue to share and help each other, and we ask that you watch over all of us. We give you thanks for all those who've been a strength and a support to us in our lives, and for all those who've transformed our lives by their goodness. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. Give strength to all those who are caring for loved ones, and comfort all those who've lost loved ones recently. We give thanks and pray for those on the road to recovery, and we pray for all those known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, and we bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for our families and all those that we love. As the evenings draw in, let us savour and enjoy the time we spend with our families and friends, and let us be filled with warmth and joy that you are in our lives, and let your love surround us all. Above all, be with those who are not able to be with us, Lord, and be with us, Lord, wherever we are. We are all in your hands. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called children of God. And we meet in the name of Christ and we share his peace. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We share with one another a sign of that peace. Dudley Smith one should be all right, shouldn't it? As we're standing, we'll sing. We'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 303, Jesus Stand Among Us. Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Sit on you for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us. So we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. So we continue at the top of page 18 by saying together the prayer after communion. And we say, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn number 520. This is Tim Dudley.
Oh,
go to our homes with this blessing. And so may the Father who loves you, the Son who sends you, the Spirit who empowers you, be with you and bless you, wherever you are, whatever you do, whoever you are with, to his praise and glory, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.